So today we are reading text 29. Prayers of Maharaj Petru to the Supreme Lord. Bhajanti yatha tvam atha eva sadhavo. Great saintly persons who are always liberated take to your devotional service, because only by devotional service can one be relieved from the illusions of material existence. Oh my Lord, there is no reason for the liberated souls to take shelter of your at your lotus feet, except that such souls are constantly thinking of your feet. But the karmis are generally engaged in fruitive activities for material bodily comforts. The jnanis, however, are disgusted with searching after material comforts. They understand that they have nothing to do with this material world, being spirit souls. After self-realization, the jnanis who are actually mature in their knowledge must surrender under the lotus feet of the Lord, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janmanamante. Self-realization is not complete unless one comes to the devotional platform. Therefore, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that those who are Atmarama, self-satisfied, are freed from all contaminations of the material modes of nature. As long as one is affected by the modes of material nature, especially by Rajas and Tamas, he will be very greedy and lusty and will always engage in hard tasks, laboring all day and night. Such false egoism carries one from one species of life into another perpetually, and there is no rest in any species of life. The Jnani understands this fact and therefore ceases to work and takes to karma sannyas. Yet, this is not actually the platform of satisfaction. After self-realization, the material wisdom of the Jnani leads him to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he is satisfied only in contemplating the lotus feet of the Lord constantly. Prithu Maharaj therefore concluded that liberated persons taking to devotional path have acquired the ultimate goal of life. If liberation were the end in itself, there would be no question of a liberated person taking to devotional service. In other words, the transcendental bliss derived from self-realization, known as Atmananda, is very insignificant in the presence of the bliss derived from devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Prithu Maharaj therefore concluded that he would simply hear of the glories of the Lord constantly and thus engage his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kathamahiyam Dadati Swapadantitam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadavatam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Dhagunatham Vitamantam Sajivam Sadhavaitam Sadhavutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Dhadha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dhavita Shri Vishakam Vitamstya Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Vitinam Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatvesha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauravishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shiradha Kanta Namostute Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Shiradhi Vrindavaneshwara Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Nilachala Nipasaya Nityaya Paramatmane Balabhadra Subhadrabhya Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vansha Kalpataru Bhishya Asindhu Vayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vacha Sambhum Langayati Yatritatam Ham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam.
Great saintly persons who are always liberated take to your devotional service, because only by devotional service can one be relieved from the illusions of material existence. Oh my Lord, there is no reason for the liberated souls to take shelter at your lotus feet except that such souls are constantly thinking of your feet. Just imagine a state of existence where we are not afflicted by hunger or thirst or sleep, irritation or the Vedas. Just imagine a state of existence where we are not afflicted and affected by the miseries and the torments and the excruciating situations of this world. Is not liberation a fantastic idea? Is not liberation a hankered after, a deeply sought after idea? Through the experience of living in this material world and experiencing the pains and torments of this world, there's not that one point idea which comes out is let me just get out of this messy situation. Let me just get out of this turmoil, this mental turmoil, these provocations, these crushing obstacles. And more so, as a devotee, is not this experience more prominent? Because no doubt materialistic people also suffer. But the small advantage they have is that they don't know that they are suffering. They also experience misery, but they don't know that it is misery, at least. So in that sense, it is a little less miserable. Because, but as a devotee, when we suffer, we know it is misery. And we know it's painful. And we know that what is not to be done. And therefore the experience becomes more prominent. So all this goes on to say that liberation is a cherished idea which should be sought for. Liberated out of the inebrieties, liberated out of the mental shackles, of the problems. And a peaceful existence. But amazingly enough, we see that scriptures or acharyas do not eulogize this idea. They do not blow the trumpet of liberation. In fact, acharyas do not care a fig for liberation. As Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur explains, kaivalya narakayate, that this whole idea of liberation is hellish. In the same section of series of prayers, Maharaj Prithu makes a point. Maharaj Prithu is praying to the Lord that, oh Lord, even if I am liberated, but I don't get the chance to hear and chant your glories, and I don't want that liberation. And I am not hankering for that liberation. And therefore here Prithu Maharaj makes a point. That yes, the liberated souls, the taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, their only reason is they are constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. So the question is, how to reconciliate with this idea of liberation being insignificant. While we see that all logical
intellectual and discriminative faculties substantiate the aspiration of liberation as be all and end all, how to reconciliate with this idea that liberation is an insignificant thing to seek after. A little bit of understanding on that will be the subject matter of our discussion today. The problem is, this world there is no question of a static stability or static equilibrium. Nothing is static in this world. There is a constant flux of deterioration. There is a constant flux of devastation. Everything wanes off in due course of time. So the world is not at all static. And therefore, the question of static equilibrium is very difficult in this world. So what this means is that in this world, to remain on any particular state is very difficult. So therefore, state is a misleading idea. A better idea than state is engagement. Just like you will see, we can see while driving, there is constant friction. And because of friction, the speed does not remain constant. The speed will deteriorate. So therefore, the idea is that one should have a constant acceleration. Some acceleration or the other, if it is present at any given point of time, at least that will ensure constant speed. At least the constant speed is ensured. But the point is to have the handle on the accelerator always pressed. A little bit or more, that is another story. But the acceleration has to be pressed. The accelerator has to be on. And therefore, that only will ensure constant speed. So therefore, we see that the world settings are enacted out in a very dynamic way. Our own mental settings are also enacted out in a dynamic way. We may see ourselves very stably situated in the association of devotees, engaged in activities of devotional service. Then there are regular services we have, weekly schedules are there, the rosters are there, and morning program is there, evening programs are there. Even in this well laid out lifestyle, we see time and again the mind pops out with some or the other problem.
All of a sudden, when we take inventory of our heart, we may see some or the other anartha has got popped out. All of a sudden, there is some feeling of envy or insecurity or anger, frustration, hankering, complacency. Everything is going very fine. We are happy. We are happy in the association, attending course. All of a sudden, mind pops up with something. And that creates such an instability in our lives. Someday some insecurity dawns, the person is not getting sleep. Someday some moroseness dawns, someone is not feeling any enthusiasm to read, to chant. Someday we are misunderstood all of a sudden. Someday we misunderstood all of a sudden. And then that whole enthusiasm to serve has gone. And we are groping for it, we're not able to catch it. So we see that the platform which we are dwelling on, the world in which we are dwelling in, is such a tottering platform. Where is the cushion of any static stability which the definition of liberation promises? Where is the cushion of any static stability where there is all peace and we can just float around? There is no problem. And if we see in the Shastras give ample, numerous proofs of this point in the form of examples of great yogis and jnanis who after decades and centuries of tapasya, and a slight agitation, and the whole scene gets changed. We see examples in Bhagavatam itself. For example, the case of Sauvari Muni. And he was such a sense-controlled person. And he was doing meditation underwater. He was doing meditation underwater. It requires Guru Nanak's sense control to be able to choose such a setting. For some of us, it may be difficult to do meditation in the temple hall, which is warm enough. Even in outside temperature is very cold, it's warm enough, it's lit enough, and so on. And it's difficult to do meditation even in temple hall. And even when so many devotees are there to encourage us to chant that and to, you know, help us not going into samadhi. No, even then it may be difficult for us actually. What to say of creating a temple hall in the water and with the standalone meditation actually. And Sauvari Muni was accomplished in that. So we see it was a remarkable accomplishment, so to say. A great exhibition of self-control and renunciation. But a slight agitating scene. A slight agitating scene. And the whole scene was changed for Sauvari Muni. Then he saw these two fish, the fish couple, having some romantic episodes. And the whole scene was changed for him actually.
No doubt, Sauvari Muni was a great personality.
Had he not been a great personality, no doubt Sauvari Muni was a very sincere and very serious in his yogic practices. Had he not been, he would not have been mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Had he not been, he would not have been able to come back to devotional service. He would not have been able to realize the futility. And more so, act on the futility of materialistic sense gratificatory pursuits, or to recall back from the sense gratificatory endeavors and take shelter of the Supreme Lord. He would never have been able to do that had he not been a great personality. But for three pastimes, the Acharyas are depicting to us that therefore we can never take recluse in a particular state. That okay, now I am in a good state. Because now I am initiated and I am second initiated and life is settled and there is association of devotees around and my name is on the roster of some days service. So the state is good. But the most important element to take shelter of is constant engagement, positive engagement, regular engagement, constant engagement. And that is what is being highlighted here. So therefore, Prabhupada in the purport, he is making, Prabhupada is explaining the point that self-realization is not complete unless one comes to the devotional platform. Self-realization is not complete because this state of self-realization, we see, it creates a favorable circumstance. It is just like a favorable circumstance. Just like the morning hours, the early morning hours are a very favorable circumstance for us to chant. The morning time is a very favorable situation or a very favorable timing for us to absorb our consciousness, to soak our consciousness in the Mangalarti, in the darshan of the Lord and the prayers. It's a very favorable situation. But the point is, if people are sleeping, as many materialistic people do, then the situation is of no benefit. The offer is not tapped or unleashed. In a similar way, we will see liberation from whatever inhibitions we are in. Time and again we experience liberation, then we experience entanglement, and then we experience liberation. So it is this way, that way, always. So whenever the experience of liberation is there, from any kind of problem we were in, it offers a favorable situation. That's all. It offers a favorable situation. But the value of that favorable situation will only be unleashed when we utilize that favorable wind to engage more in hearing and chanting. In hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So only when we engage more in hearing and chanting. So therefore, in that sense, we can see that this the whole idea of self-realization or this Atmananda which is being talked about is like a clue, is like a hint. Now we get a hint to a problem. We get an idea. Like sometimes we get an idea. Now we get a preaching idea. Okay, this is how we can preach.
and it will rocket. Krishna consciousness can spread in a very powerful way. We get an idea. So an idea is very exciting. But just imagine the state, the person is very happy just having the idea and sharing the idea with 10 people and he just sits down with the idea. So, that's not a very good idea. So therefore, the good idea is that the idea should not remain as an idea. That's a good idea. So the point is that the idea is exciting. That very fact that, okay, we are out of the modes, that's exciting. There are no shackles, no problems. Then the waves of tribulations and provocations are coming, but they are not touching us. That's very good. That's an exciting idea. But the idea will reach its perfection of manifestation when that idea is implemented. When that idea is implemented. Therefore, we will see that many times. So, it is only action which makes things manifest. It is only activity. It is not just the idea. So therefore, the whole platform of liberation is also like that. It's exciting, but that excitement is not fully manifested because that platform, what do we do with that platform is more important. That if we are able to utilize that platform for having a positive gear or for taking a positive gear towards surrender to Krishna, then that is what manifests the perfection of this whole idea of self-realization. Otherwise, the entire exercise of introspection, retrospection is futile because it is not unleashed. In fact, we will see in this world, there is no dearth of people with great ideas. I have personally experienced that many times, when we approach people, and sometimes we approach outside people, and then we explain about our activities, okay, we are having these preaching activities to, helping the world, in taking care of body, mind, soul. Many times people appreciate. That's one type of people we see. In the second type of people, they appreciate also. And they will give ideas. How you can expand. How you should do your preaching activities. How your spiritual activities should go on. There are many people like that. I remember at one point we were trying to preach in IIM Bangalore, Indian Institute of Management Bangalore, which is one of the top management colleges in India for MBA studies. So anyone we would go to, he would say, very nice, what you are doing, very nice. And you should strategize like this. And you should preach like this. And they would go on. I remember, some people would go on for half an hour, some people would go on for 1 hour. There was one gentleman, he was 30 years old. And he was doing his research in management and all that. And I was looking like his child. But he looked much more than 30. But he caught me at 8 o'clock in the night. Because we went for our preaching program. We went for distributing books and seeing that who are enrolling them for our programs. So he was in discussion at 8 o'clock in the night until 2:30 he didn't leave us. I had to go directly for the morning program. I just went to bath and went for the morning program. There was nothing else actually. And he was giving so many ideas, we should do this, that. And finally I said, but okay, everything. And then he was glorifying. But then I was telling, okay, then why don't you take the book and beads? He said, yes, that's That he didn't do. And he didn't came for the program. So the point is that idea is a very common phenomenon. But there are very few people who would come forward to offer help. But there are very few people who would come forward to actually apply the process. So that's why this whole this whole concept of self-realization or Atmananda is not complete. It manifests or it realizes its perfection only when there is positive and continuous engagement in devotional service, in Shravanam and Kirtanam, prominently. In Shravanam and Kirtanam. On the other hand, we can see in this way, action or activity, or we can or continuous engagement. Continuous engagement is like a stamp on our mind. So we will see now that only when there is activity, there is positive engagement, the impression on the mind goes very strong. As long as it is contemplation, introspection, meditation, it is favorable, but the impact is not so strong. The impact becomes stronger when there is positive action, when there is activity on the manifested plane. That is where the idea becomes very strong. The impression goes very deep in the mind actually. Otherwise the impression is not so deep. So that's why the positive engagement is what is highlighted. Just like, for example, we can see that many times, say for example, we read Srila Prabhupada's books. They are so wonderful. Prabhupada's purports are so amazing. And they are so amazing and they are so wonderful actually. So reading gives us a lot of strength. But we will see when we add on an additional step that, you know, in addition to reading, we go out and share. Then those words, we go out and share with others Prabhupada's words and the Acharya's words and the glories of the Lord. Then those glories will hit us more deeply. And it creates the a deeper impression into our mindsets. So the activity is what... the activity is what actually creates a very solid impression on the mental plane. And in that way, our mind is getting molded. We need a strong impression. Just like I remember, recently, so recently there was there was a point in our tribal ventures actually, and I wanted to resolve. There was something which we needed to resolve, and so I thought, okay, I can send an SMS or so something I had, you know, had to be resolved or explained, you know, to Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. And I thought, okay, you know, we can send a mail, you know, or I can talk to Maharaj on WhatsApp. And then I was discussing with our, you know, immediate senior devotee. And Prabhu explained to me, he said, you see, you know, don't just send a WhatsApp, you know, don't just, you know, send an email. He said, go and personally meet, you know, things will work out very nicely, you know. And go and personally meet. And I was like, no, Prabhuji, all the way I have to travel, the, you know, whole day of traveling, going, coming back. It is very difficult. He said, no, no. So he was just giving an example to encourage me. He said, you see, the point is what? That if you do a phone call, it is one dimensional. Okay? It's only 1D. You cannot, So he said, you cannot transfer too much data because it's one dimensional transmission, you know? So, yeah, he was explaining in terminology which I can relate with, sir. So he said, it's 1D. And he said, your WhatsApp and Zoom and Skype, you know, you may be using that from Melbourne and all that. But understand, you know, it's two-dimensional. It's only 2D. So it cannot, you know, transmit data, you know, too much. But he said, physical presence is not just 1D, 2D, 3D. It is multidimensional. You know, it makes you understand a lot. It makes them understand a lot. And it's going to be very strong. The impression is going to be very strong. Like that. So, that's the point. The physical activity marks the impression very strong. Therefore, there is no alternative to strong devotional engagement. To strong devotional engagement. Constant devotional engagement. Therefore, acharyas are glorifying constant hearing and chanting. So we see Shravanam and Kirtanam are so wonderful that when we apply ourselves to the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam, then it acts like an armor. And when the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam is, and when we share, that is, the process is applied for others, to help others, then Shravanam and Kirtanam is like a weapon. So when we apply ourselves to it, it's like an armor. And when we open it for others, then it's like a weapon. So Shravanam and Kirtanam, therefore, is very highly glorifying. So we will see that Prabhupada explains that owing to Rajas and Tamas, materialistic people, they are working very hard because of greed and lust. And in this hard work, there is no rest. And even if there is cessation of work, still there is no rest. So one way we can understand that, okay, this material world or this material plane is like a set. Any element you put in the set is a problem. Now, any element you put in the set, any item, any element you put in the set, it's a problem. So therefore, any materialistic idea, materialistic desire we put in the set of our heart, it's a problem. And just like any element is a problem, similarly, no element is also a problem. The null set is also a problem, actually. So no element or the empty set is also a problem, because this whole conception of set is the materialistic dimension. So we need to, is because the whole dimension is the materialistic plane. And therefore Prabhupada is explaining the point that even a jnani who is ceasing work, he does not achieve the platform of satisfaction. And that satisfaction one can achieve only by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Only by actively taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So we will see that our consciousness is carved in such a way that consciousness needs to be our consciousness needs to be hooked. It cannot be in an unhooked state, and therefore everyone is hankering or striving hard for some or the other hook. Now the point is that if we take off a material hook, again it will get hooked somewhere or the other. And the only thing, only recluse is that if it gets hooked to the lotus feet of the Lord. So that hooking to the lotus feet of the Lord is the state when, which is being highlighted here in the translation in the purport, is the state when one's mind is constantly thinking about the Supreme Lord, is constantly thinking about the lotus feet of the Lord. And this state of mind can only be achieved when our activities are constantly being offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that dynamic setting. So activity after activity, offering after offering, service after service is what actually brings the mind or tunes the mind to this state of constantly thinking of the Lord. And that is what can give us an everlasting experience of pleasure or bliss, which makes this whole idea of liberation insignificant. So to summarize, we started with the question of understanding that although liberation appears to be such a wonderful idea, experiencing the pains and turmoils of this world, it appears to be such an exciting idea, why at all this liberation is considered insignificant and the great devotees of the Lord are not hankering after it. So we discussed how this world is in a dynamic equilibrium. There is nothing static, and therefore we cannot rely too much on state. We have to rely on activity. Therefore we have to rely on constant engagement. Just like the accelerator is pressed, then at least there is constant speed. Secondly, we saw that actually in the set of the material world, any activity or any material activity or material desire creates trouble. But no material desire, the set itself also creates trouble. We have to change the set. We have to transcend to the spiritual plane. The goal which is being highlighted here is the state in which the mind is constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. And then we were talking about that, yes, it is only the activity which actually deepens our impression. Only when we engage in that activity, it deepens our impression. It deepens the impression of Krishna. It's just like, we may get a good idea, but to keep the good idea is not a good idea. No? So one needs to implement that. One needs to implement. Or just like, say for example, we hear lecture. It is very exciting to hear it on the phone or to hear it on audio. But when we actually meet the senior devotees, we actually meet the Maharajas, that association, that physical association is dimensions deeper. It is profusely deeper, profoundly deep. The impression is profoundly deep. And there is no alternative to that. The video lecture or the audio lecture is not an alternative to physical association, whenever there is opportunity, of course. So in that way, we see that it is the activity. And only by constant activities, we can bring the mind to the state of constantly thinking about the Lord. So therefore, one should endeavor hard and struggle hard to push oneself to keep serving on and on and on, one service after another, one offering after another, and in that way we can remain protected, and in that way we can unleash the perfection of the liberated state, which was just like the morning hours. He said, "Is it the morning hours, or just a clue, or just a hint?" But its beauty can be unleashed when we positively engage in Shavanam and Kirtanam. For us, it becomes like it acts like an armor, and when we share, it becomes like a weapon. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, we have. Yeah, we should not worry about mood so much. We should just do it. You know, this outside world also people say, just do it. So just do it should not be applied for sense gratification, should be applied for Krishna service.
the process of doing the service itself gives us excitement. Like Prabhupada explains, in the morning we may feel a little, if it is cold, one may feel a little tired to get up and to come for Mangalarti. But once we come and we attend, this is a beautiful darshan of the Lord, and we dance in kirtans, then we feel enthusiastic. The process itself gives enthusiasm. The engagement itself gives enthusiasm. And then association gives us that enthusiasm. And then that way the mood comes. So we associate with devotees who are having mood. Being around them, we also start jumping and running like that. Okay, so we'll stop here. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki.